Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! Well, we're halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Tom had a great idea. Said you guys completely missed it this morning. You guys could have done guttural yells. We made Ben do it this morning, but you could have just done it, well, back to back.
Back to back to back to back.
Go ahead.
Yeah!
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 Back to back to back.
Back to back to back. Why not, before we get too late, let's kiss the
kiss
rally
the roach. We got all our bits that we're doing in here.
get it going for today.
Love you, little rally roach.
Welcome back. Padres take 2-3 from the Houston Astros and move on to their final home series of the season tomorrow against the Chicago White Sox. It's been a good year. It's been a good year. I think that's the consensus, Woods, that whatever happens, and now our expectations are higher, obviously. But this has been entertaining baseball.
This is
baseball at its best. You know, it doesn't guarantee you one more win the rest of the way. But what we've had so far for the first 5.5 months, been really fun and entertaining. And want to thank the San Diego Padres for what we've been able to experience this year. Exciting wins. Great plays, drama, late in the baseball game, walk-offs. It's just been really, really good baseball this year.
And you know what else, man? Is not a lot of off-field drama, knock on wood. You know, still some time left. But not a lot of infighting, not a lot of things leaking out of unhappy people. And this guy's not doing what he needs to do. Watching them be together, being in the clubhouse, just the handful of times I have. There's a palpable difference in this team. We've talked about it. Of course, the results on the field prove that. But talking to the players, as we did Michael King the other day, that's been a lot of fun too. Because when things go south, everyone looks for the scapegoat, you know, or the scapegoats. What's happening? What are they doing? Why do these guys hate each other? Ooh, look at their body language. It's bad. There's been really none of that this year.
Well, you saw it, and our colleague Craig tweeted this during the back-to-back-to-back home runs yesterday. He said, it's really something to see how much the Padres superstars root for one another and for their teammates. Seeing Tatis and Manny jumping over the rail and dancing for Solano's homer is a sign of how stitched together this club is heading into the playoffs.
They've busted a lot of narratives, too. They busted a lot of narratives that, oh, somebody doesn't care and he's given up and blah, blah, blah.
He's just playing for the contract.
Playing for the contract. I mean, the narratives are busted. I'm sorry. And if that's how you live still, you're deluding yourself. I mean, that is none of that could be further from the truth. And I still see that garbage, you know, from time to time. It irked you yesterday about Tatis, who had a rough couple of at-bats yesterday, which, by the way, against one of the best pitchers in baseball, it's going to happen. It's what I tell my little leaguers. Don't get, like, it's hard as hell to hit. And I know they make a lot of money. It's still hard as hell to hit for a lot of guys.
You know what? I'm okay when a guy's slumping. You know, criticism comes with territory in baseball.
Absolutely.
I guess what bothered me, though, is Tatis is not slumping. Even my son texted me. He goes, oh, we got to get Tatis out of this slump. You know, it was after he struck out twice. And I go, he's on an 8-game hitting streak with 4 home runs. By the way, it's now a 9-game hitting streak with 5 home runs.
Give me that slump any day of the week.
That's red hot. That's not a slump. Was he unable to get a guy in from third a couple of times?
Yes.
The last couple of days, and did he strike out against one of, as you said, best pitchers in baseball, who, by the way, saved his nastiest of curves for Tatis, because he knows, hey, I might be able to get my fastball, my sinker against Kyle Higashioka, but when Tatis comes up, I'm using the curve that has an opponent batting average against of 100 this year, because I'm not going to let him beat me on anything other than my absolute best stuff. And Tatis, he's going to have to hit some of the best stuff, because he'll see a lot of that in the playoffs as well. But eventually he does, just like he did yesterday. He gets an opportunity. You're not going to face an ace every at bat, and you know when you get a mistake, you hammer it, and hammered it.
I'm really encouraged by what they did against the Astros pitching staff, because that's a really good staff. That's a staff that's a playoff caliber staff. And those are the guys that you're going to be going up against, you know, and they're certainly, man, you look at the teams that are still left in it, and there are guys, there are pitching staffs you look at and go, all right, Nola, Wheeler, whatever, you know, and the Dodgers, for all their troubles, they still have a couple of good arms at the top of their rotation. They do. They don't have much beyond it, but they still have a bullpen with guys with nasty stuff. You look it around at all the teams, the Freddie Peralta for the Brewers. My God, like, there's some good-ass pitchers you're going to have to beat. Like, so that's encouraging to me. The fact that
no
this
team has ever won a World Series not facing any good
some
pitching.
Good pitching, right. It's the hurdle they've all had to get over. The fact that this team doesn't K a lot, the fact that usually they're pretty good about getting those runs in. I hope they continue to play the baseball, the brand of baseball that's gotten them to this point this year.
Well, when you say that's the kind of pitching the Padres are going to face in the playoffs, at least one Padre believes that's the actual pitching the Padres will face in the World Series. Manny Machado saying after the game, fairly unequivocally, he said, we're playing really good baseball. We played a really good ball club that we're probably going to be facing later on. And this was in Kevin Acey's newsletter, and he wanted to make sure that he didn't misquote Manny. It goes, so you know what you mean when you say that, because the only way you can face the Astros, you know, is in the World Series. And Manny said, yeah, we're going to see them again. They're a really good ball club, and how he played the last few days, I mean, it's a little taste of it. And by the way, it went over to the other clubhouse as well. Mauricio Dubon said, it would be a good World Series. They know who we are. We know who they have. It's a good thing we play best of seven in October. I mean, did we see a World Series preview the last 3 days?
So, God, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm not the one saying it. Manny Machado is the one who's saying it.
You didn't have to bring it up.
He said, it's going to happen. That's what Manny said. It's going to happen.
This is Manny Machado.
And the Padres will be facing the Astros in the World Series in just over 1 month.
I hate him sometimes.
Manny?
You.
Me?
Yeah. We dictate the content on this program. We get to make the decisions of what is out there and what isn't.
Joe Espada, the manager of the Astros, says, that's a really good team. They made some good acquisitions, and the back end is pretty good. They put the bat on the ball. There's some tough outs. Center fielder is pretty, pretty good player. We know what Machado can do in that lineup. It's just a complete offense. That's the manager who was the bench coach when they won a couple of World Series as well. He knows good baseball when he sees it.
They're a good team, man. They are. They're a really good team. And that means, you know, you beat a team like that. We're a good team too. And I think it's okay to know that we're a good baseball team. And again, the playoffs are such a random series of events. It's just
it
random.
Because last year, I would say no one, including the Arizona Diamondbacks, knew that they were a good team going into the playoffs.
Correct.
It felt like one of those teams that kind of sneaks in is going to be out early.
Yeah.
And instead, they made it all the way to the World Series. Yeah. The Texas Rangers.
Same thing.
Didn't look like they were going to do anything. They were limping to the finish line. Didn't even win their division after, you know, blowing that lead. They end up winning the World Series title. So, yeah, absolutely anything can happen in October.
Think about in October as well. I was tweeting with one of our listeners and one of my Twitter followers, Shirtless Whitson. Really funny dude. Hates Lisa Rise for some reason, so I'm always yelling at him about that. But other than that, he's a really, really smart baseball fan. And he said, man, I'm not worried. Like, I'm not worried about Xander. I'm not worried about Cronenworth right now. He said, yeah, it sucks to finish the season, you know, struggling to find a hit. Jake's lost up there.
So those are the only two things I'm worried about.
But see,
right now.
But
if I had to pick anything to worry about, it's like, all right, yeah, maybe Xander defensively at short and Crony.
But what he's saying is essentially, once the playoff comes, Tyler Wade can be a playoff hero. You know what I mean? Like, once the playoffs get there, it's not always the biggest stars shining bright on the biggest stage. You know, it's the role player guys. It's the Donovan Solanos. It's the Jake Cronenworth who delivers the hit off of Alex Vesia. One of the best moments in my life, you know, and those are the guys that that come through in October. It can be anybody's ball game in October, right? Everybody has the potential to be a star. I mean,
these are just some of the World Series MVP winners.
Steven Pierce jumps
Jeremy
off.
Jeremy Pena.
Right.
Steve Pierce.
A rookie. Eh?
Ben Zobrist.
Right.
Of course, you have David Ortiz.
Sure.
Madison Bumgarner. Steven Strasburg. You do have, of course, those big names, but there's a lot of guys you're like, you were a role player.
Right.
You were not the MVP. You were not the star.
I'll never forget Steven Pierce. I mean, just out of his mind, you know, out of his mind, hitting home runs and huge home runs and clutch home runs. And sometimes they take the foot off the gas, right? Hey, I just got through Arise, Tatis, Machado, Merrill, Bogart. Throw a heater to Jake Cronenworth, who drops the head on it, and two-run double. You know, you just never know. And
remember
so,
what Eddie Rosario did for the Braves
God,
in 2021.
Insane, man. So I think, like, with Crony right now, at least he's weighing in with the glove, playing really, really good defense. He's still a great baseball player. You know, again, he just looks a little bit lost at the plate, not seeing it particularly well, you know, looking at pitches yesterday that were clearly strikes, and he's upset. So, you know where Big Crony stands on this show and always will be. But, yeah, man, and I don't think he's worried. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen, and I fully, fully expect him to deliver a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his second half of the season, just looking at his splits, obviously – Not as good as the first half. In August, he hit .260, but in September, he's now hitting .163.
Hannah and I were laughing because he slumped in my birthday month of July, and he's
.198 in July, .163 in September. Your two birthday months.
And I tweeted to my buddy yesterday. I said, "Well, Hannah's birthday month weighs us all down. It's a nightmare for all of us." So I fully, fully get it. Why Crony slumped.
Now,
right
outside
now,
of that, he's had a really solid season.
Yep.
But those 2 months have dragged down the numbers.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's having a rough September. But again, once the clock strikes October, Benny, it does not matter. It's everyone. Guess what? Everybody resets to zero. Everyone. What's your batting average? Zero. How many home runs you got? Zero. How many wins you got? Zero. How many saves you got? None. How many Ks? None. It's all, the slate is clean. And that's got to be a good feeling for those guys. So I fully expect those dudes to play good baseball because that's what they've done all year.
If you want to talk about the unpredictability, though, look at the American League playoff chase right now. And the Detroit Tigers, who have moved within a half game of the Minnesota Twins. The Detroit Tigers, who put up the white flag, essentially, at the trade deadline. They traded Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
Who's been really good for the Dodgers. Like, their only good pitcher in the second half of the season. And they traded him away.
Is he their game one
starter? Yes, yeah. He is. He's their game one starter in the playoffs. And the Detroit Tigers traded him. And since then, have made a huge run to climb within half a game of a playoff spot.
Crazy.
Now, they kept Skubal, so that's helped them. But, I mean, if they had kept Flaherty, they might be already in a playoff position at this point. And the Dodgers,
how bad does that suck?
The Dodgers might be done if they didn't get Flaherty, because they have nothing. Their pitching is gone. And Flaherty has kind of kept them from completely sinking under the water level thanks to that trade.
Yeah, man.
And it's a trade that the Tigers would undoubtedly go back and undo if they could now.
In a New York minute, dude. No question about it. So I can't wait. This is the greatest time of year. And let's all love each other. And let's love our guys. They've earned it this year. You know, and I get it, man. I was as frustrated as anyone yesterday when Xander, when that ball went under his legs. I just go, oh, no. But you know what? He gets that ball tomorrow. He's going to make that play. That's how I feel.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
And this is actually, this week, a very special anniversary of what happened 4 years ago this week. We're going to take you back on a Throwback Thursday when we come back. And then Eno Saris is going to join us at the bottom of the hour for some smart baseball. Very important this time of the year. Maybe we'll talk to him about bunting a little bit with Eno coming up on San Diego's number one sports station after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Throwback Thursday with Ben and Woods, and actually a couple of anniversaries tomorrow, September 20th, 40 years ago tomorrow, the Padres clinched their first ever division title and first ever trip to the postseason. Tim Lawlor with the pitcher hits a home run himself. Padres win and clinch the National League West. Obviously, they'd go on to beat the Cubs in the NLCS in 5 games and face the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. But that was their 15th season, and they finally made the playoffs in 1984, 40 years ago tomorrow. Of course, there's only been, I think, what, 7 playoff seasons in Padres history? Is that right? I think that sounds right. 1984, 96, 98, 2005. 2006, 2020, and 2022.
Yeah.
So that's it. Those are the playoff seasons.
Should it be 8?
In Padres history. One of those came, well, 2 of them technically with the short season, but the first one came in 2020, 4 years ago. Tomorrow, was it, Paulie?
Yes. 4 years ago tomorrow, the Padres clinched in that 60-game sprint of a season. Don't remember who they were playing. For whatever reason, I want to say like the A's because they played so many geographically.
Yeah, it was all West
teams,
kind of coast right. opponents.
But I definitely could be wrong on that. But I do remember watching on TV.
Somebody will tell you in the chat.
And after the game was over, you know, they extend
Mariners.
Mariners, yeah. Okay. They do extend the broadcast, and you had a lot of Don and Mud after the game, and I think they were going down to the clubhouse to do some interviews. But Mud, of course, who has been here just for so long and seen some really bad baseball over the years. He's also seen some good baseball, but he's seen a lot of bad baseball.
I loved this.
And he got so emotional.
I loved it.
On the broadcast on Bally Sports, I think it was at the time. But here's that clip.
I didn't think I was going to react this way, but this is incredible. It's just been too long. Mark Sweeney wore the uniform. He knows what it's like. And since 2006-14, I didn't think I was going to react this way for the love of Pete. I mean, I'm just so happy for those guys down there. And it's been too long. And a lot of it's emotional because, you know, I wish we were on XM or Sirius right now, because I would use some salty language right now to tell people how I really feel. So I'll clean it up. Just sick and tired of other teams beating up on the Friars. And for them to win today and clinch a spot, it's really, really special. AJ did a great job at the deadline. This team has so much going for them. I remember talking to TJ Lasita, who does the traveling arrangements for the Padres, and I asked him about some guys in the team, and he said, you know what, Mud? He goes, we got a special thing going on down here, and I'm so happy that they were here. People are watching at home right now and just celebrating. And, yeah, go for it. It's been way too long, and we all know that it's been a 60-game season. Every team has been in the same boat. Don't think of this as, oh, well, it's just one of those scenes. No. No. Yes. Every team has the same situation. They've been playing great baseball all the way around. They love one another down there in that clubhouse, and it shows. So getting to the playoffs is huge. It's not necessarily the best team. It's who's playing the best. We've said that many, many times. So, I apologize for getting a little emotional here, but, hey, this is a huge deal. This is a big deal. It's been way too long. 14-year drought. It's about to change, in not just this year, hopefully for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't count at all, but it's still a very good moment.
Yeah, talks about how 14 years, I mean, in any scenario, he probably would have gotten emotional. But then you factor in the year that 2020 was and how ridiculously different and bad those 5 months were between March and that moment in September. Like, we needed something to feel good about.
100%. That's really what it was, man. But I still get, I go and tuck Bowen every night. And when they asked us if you guys want to do the big cutouts, and you can do your picture and we'll put your cutout behind home plate. And I said, no, I do my kid. That's what I want. And somebody, a tier one, tracked that thing down. And we keep it. And it's in Bo's room. And when I walk in at night to tuck him in, I look over there. And it gives me like, oh, my gosh, remember those days. He was just a little bub. And seeing that cutout in his room that was sitting behind home plate in those games was just nuts. It's nuts every time I see it. So, no, it was a cool thing, certainly. But, yeah, we needed it was a sense of normalcy you felt.
You know, it's funny because that short season, the 60 games, essentially is like you just played the second half of the season post All-Star break. And remember, the Padres went 37-23 in those 60 games. Well, this year, if you go back to the All-Star break, Padres were 50-49. You know, pretty mediocre for the first 100 games of the season, essentially.
One game above average.
And since then, they've been 37-17. So it's essentially been kind of almost a 60-game season here.
Yep.
And they've done what they did in 2020. They've played really good, even better than they played in 2020 this second half of the season. They just didn't have to go through the grind, which is such a part of it. You do have to tread water for a while, and they did in the first half of the season. That's what Mike Schilt told us way back in spring training. He told us, kind of privately, but you know, he said it publicly as well. This is not what our team's going to look like at the end of the
year.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is the start, and there will be growing pains. There will be, you know, moments where we're going to have to figure it out. But by the end, he was pretty confident back then. By the end, you're going to like this team and what it all comes together to be. And he was absolutely right about that.
100%, man. Like Merlin. You know what I mean? Like prognosticating, saying, yeah, we're going to finish stronger than we start, which is, I think that's what everybody wants. Of course. I mean, think about all the teams that started off so, so hot this year. And you thought, Phillies, I mean, they're 110 wins. Dodgers are going to be 110, 115 wins. Yankees are going to be 105, 110 win team. Nope.
Cubs were hot
Cubs
early.
Were hot. Yep.
Fell off. Even the Reds were being talked about as a playoff contender. The Pirates for a while. They've both been eliminated officially already from playoff contention.
Travis in the chat is freaking out because we haven't answered his question. He said, where is Mudd? I don't know.
Guys get series off.
The guys take vacation. I have no idea what to tell you. I have no idea.
Probably the last couple of days off for the stretch run.
Here. Yeah.
Although, you know what?
I'll put Mudd's cell phone number in the chat.
Put Mudd's number in the chat. And
they
you
don't
can text
do the games
him.
in the postseason, though. Don and Mullen are off.
They're off.
I mean, they go, but they're not on TV in the postseason.
Will Don do some games?
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe he'll have a national game or two for TBS.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a Padres game.
I absolutely loathe it.
I do, too.
I loathe it.
Now, Jesse and Tony will work all the way through.
Yes. I loathe...
There should be a way to still have
100%
the national broadcast. Like, it can still be on Fox, TBS, FS1, whatever.
How come
with
how come,
the home, the like at least the home broadcasters, and when you go on the road, it's the other team's home broadcasters.
Football does 47 broadcasts per game.
Yeah,
figure it out.
There's a Manning cast. There should be a Mudd cast.
A Mudd cast would be amazing.
A Don and Mudd cast.
I mean, it's such a bummer. That would be like a player playing the entire season with the team and having a great season. Like, you're not playing in the playoffs. What? Yeah, you're done. Well, why? I've had a monster year. Yeah. We're going with a couple other guys from other teams. Stupid. Doesn't make any sense. Yet another way we get absolutely hosed by baseball. You know what happened to me again?
What happened to you again?
Went to watch Dodgers Marlins, blacked out. MLB TV, blacked out. Guess what I did again? I watched another illegal stream. This is what I do now.
Way to set a good example for your children.
Non-violent criminal streamer, Stephen Woods.
Aren't you worried that by admitting your crime, you're going to get home and they're going to be waiting with the handcuffs for you when you get back?
Rob Manfred should bail me out.
The SWAT team will be there waiting to arrest you.
It is absolutely absurd. Absurd. Adam says you can spell playoffs without 97.3. It's true. That is true.
But we will be with you as far as it goes here on 97.3 The Fan. Only place to get local broadcasters in the postseason.
That's right.
Maybe they can let Don and Mud do an inning. Maybe Jesse can have them into the booth for an inning somewhere. Just to be fair.
Well, okay, it'd be like a round table during a game.
Yeah.
If you're Don and Mud, you're like, you want me to roll down? We can sit in the owner's box and get hammered. You think we want to come in and do an inning?
If we're off.
That's exactly what they
do. I remember seeing them on, they'd show them on the big screen during the game.
There's nothing like it.
And they're just chilling and
having a great time.
Rosy cheeks.
Yeah,
and
rosy
smiling.
Cheeks. Yeah, Mud,
showing YouTube videos to Don.
A couple adult beverages.
We'll come back. Eno Serra, smart baseball. I mean, is it smart to play exactly the same during the playoffs as it was in the regular season? I kind of wonder what Eno has to say about that.
Good question.
Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I feel like smart baseball becomes even more important as you get late in September, early in October, or maybe smart baseball doesn't care what time of the year it is. It's always a good time for smart baseball. We got Eno Serra standing by. Our weekly conversation with Eno from The Athletic coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, let me qualify that, because it's always a good time to play smart baseball, because it's never a good time to play dumb baseball. It's just a worse time to play dumb baseball when you could be eliminated late in the season or in the playoffs.
Seattle playing a little bit of dumb baseball
Last couple of days, you know? Base running.
Yeah.
Gaffes, blunders.
It's tough. It's the pressing thing, I think.
Welcome to Eno Serra from The Athletic. Good morning, Eno.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Great. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to, you know, when a team, you know, kind of like knocks on the door and, you know, has some pain in its history, you try to like stop yourself, you know. Like, I texted somebody in the family, man, you know, could this be the year? And then like seconds later, Robert Suarez blew the save that day.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, shame on me, you know, shame on me. Don't think things like that. Just be happy with the win tonight, that sort of deal, you know?
Yeah, be happy with the win tonight, and then, you know, focus on just the win ahead tomorrow. It is the only way to play. It's the only way to play that game.
Very Mike Schilt-esque of you, that's for sure.
It's the only way to do it, man. 162 is a long time, you know. And I will say this, and you can speak to this more than me. Do you see a big disparity in the way a team will play in the regular season and then the way – like completely switch the way they play in the postseason? Because I will tell you, man, there's a really great writer here. He goes by Letters to AJ, and he wrote a blog about what was the title of it, Benny? It was like
playing scared.
It was like essentially playing a little bit scared and more cautious with the leads. You know, you're just shorten up your leads, don't get picked off, things like that. It gets tight. It gets really tight around this time of year. Do you see a big disparity of that in the playoffs of teams switching their identities?
I think, you know, so I'm a numbers guy, and when I try to look at things like the best age for a team, you know, or playoff experience, things like that, I can't find it in the numbers. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, and I think that that's where playoff experience could find its way onto the field, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, I do think that a lot of the San Diego core is better for having had, you know, these mini runs of, you know, getting close and winning in the postseason, at least winning a series, because it's a little bit more like, all right, guys, like, this may be that we're in the playoffs, but we've been here in this place before and we want to get further. So, you know, it's not so much like, oh, you know, everything matters about what happens in this wild card series. It's more like, let's just play this like we've played all year and get to the next level. So maybe there'll be a tightening at some point, you know, if they go, you know, all the way to the series or something. But I do think that most of the players on this team have been there before in a way that they'll be fine.
You know, we've talked about bunting before as a strategy. No problem if you can bunt for a base hit from time to time. Jurickson Profar laid down another sacrifice, though, with nobody out and two on in the third inning yesterday. Padres ended up not scoring in that inning. He's been such a valuable offensive player, but he'll say there's a lot of nuance that goes into it. You know, how I'm feeling against the pitcher at the time, just my chances. I feel at success, at getting a hit, and what's more valuable to the team. And I certainly understand that, but analytically, where are we on bunting? I mean, are there points in the game where a sacrifice does make sense, or is this full money ball? Like, don't ever do it. We don't ever want to see it. Don't ever give up an out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was sort of sabermetrics 1.0 where it was just like, bunts are bad. Stop doing this.
Yes.
But we've refined that over time, and there's been sort of contextual times when it does actually make sense. And one is that if you see that third baseman is playing you further and further back over time, you know, you're a power hitter, maybe you're a little bit slower, and you just see they're playing you all the way on the grass, basically. You know, they can't be on the grass now, but you know what I mean. They're playing you all the way back. You can actually just dump a little bunt down, and that third baseman will play closer next time. Like, it's just how it works, you know? And if you can bring that guy closer in, maybe you can hit the next hit over his head. So that's a contextual thing that can matter. The other is the, you will lose win expectancy by bunting because you're giving away an out, and it's not usually worthwhile to give away an out. But the lower the run expectancy, so the tighter the game, the later it is, and the fewer runs you expect the team to score, the more it makes sense. So in another way of saying it is, if it's the eighth inning of like a combined no-hitter both sides,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What a way.
And you've got a guy on first, yeah, bunt him into position because you're not expecting to get a lot of hits. You're playing for one run with all your life. You know, if it's like a 10-9 game, you know, and you're in the middle of the bullpens or even the end of the bullpens, then don't bunt because you need to score more than one run. So, and then with the new rules with the, overtime, the extra innings rules, you know, sometimes a bunt makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. I think if you're in the top of the inning, you want to play for runs.
Yes.
In extra innings. And if you're in the bottom of the inning, then you want to play for one run, you know.
Like yeah, if you hold tied. Yep.
In the bottom of the, if it's tied and it's the bottom of the tenth, then you want to get that. You want to get that guy on second to third. I think you might bunt with your first batter unless it's, you know, Manny or you know what I mean. Like, I think you kind of want to get that guy so he can score on a sacrifice fly. You know, so you know there are times when bunts make sense for sure.
No question. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. So I'm going to ask you to put your general manager / manager hat on right now for the playoffs. Based on what you've seen from Robert Suarez, based on what you've seen from Tanner Scott, based on what you've seen from Jason Adam, even, Eno Saris is at the helm. Season ends today. Playoffs start tomorrow. You're taking the Mets. You're playing the Mets. Who's your closer in your mind?
Man, I think, and this is going to sound like I'm weaseling out, but you know,
it's fine. We do it all the time.
I think I'm going to go committee, man.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think it works is because Tanner Scott is a lefty, you know, and you know, Robert Suarez still has totally shown the stuff to be a closer, but Tanner Scott also has the stuff to be a closer. And so, you know, I think if you've got a lefty heavy lineup, why not throw Tanner Scott in there? You know, I'm not calling for Suarez's job. You know, he has a great, great fastball. And I think he has great secondaries that, you know, he still could pitch at some time. I was pointed out to me that, like, you know, there were some injury concerns with Suarez over the offseason. And, like, that might be part of why he's not throwing the cutter more.
Yep.
Maybe it doesn't feel good. And then the changeup, he can't command that well. So, you know, if he's a one-pitch pitcher, Tanner Scott is decidedly a two-pitch pitcher, and they're both great pitchers. So I would still keep Suarez as my nominal closer, but I would, you know, if they had two lefties out of three coming up in the ninth, I could see putting Tanner Scott up there.
Maybe a little early for this, but, you know, Padres do seem on track to at least be playing in a wild card series, Eno, and they've got four really solid starting pitchers right now who are all throwing well. They're going to have to make a decision on, you know, who they're going with in that series as a starter, and that would leave one of the guys in the bullpen. It might be Michael King. We talked to Michael King about it, and he said, hey, whatever the team needs, you know, I like starting, but I've been a reliever. I know how to do it.
He also said, I want a playoff start.
Right. He wants a playoff start. But someone's not going to get one in that first round. If it goes three games, maybe two of them won't. How would you think the Padres should deploy that extra starter in a potential wild card playoff series, whoever it is?
I think it's Michael King. No matter what, he's coming up on innings totals he hasn't done before in his career.
Yep.
You know,
he's already
done. And we've seen that he can be really, really special with that extra velo. I mean, as a reliever, he was. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad starter at all. I'm just saying, like, as a reliever, he was special. So, you know, if he does come out and he can throw a little bit harder, he could be a real wild card. And the way that I would keep him is he's my first pitcher out of the pen. And he is the guy that comes out in the second or third, because that's another thing that people talk about getting tight. I mean, I don't know if that's tight or if it's there is no tomorrow. But you might see somebody like Joe or you or somebody coming out in the second or third inning, because if they put two or three guys on and it's a 0-0 game, like, come bring in Michael King.
High stress. You know,
it's high stress. You can't lose that game. And Michael King could get you two or three scoreless, and now you're into the bullpen. So, you know, that's how I would use Michael King. And I would say, we're going to get you that playoff start by getting to the next round. We're going to need you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, 100%. If you get to the next round, you're 100% going to get a that playoff start that you covet. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. Last one, just kind of your thoughts right now on hottest teams going in, teams you're worried about, just kind of your overarching thoughts in the playoffs. Such a great time of year, and you know, the last couple of weeks certainly have not disappointed. I've watched, you know, I've told my wife the other day, I go, baby, you don't understand. In a playoff, I got to watch the Mets game. I got to watch the Diamondbacks. I'm watching the Dodgers. I'm streaming illegally over here. So, like, I'm trying to catch all of this independent race. But, you know, other than the Padres, who we cover, you know, ad nauseum, who do you like right now as far as, like, man, these guys are playing good ball, could be a real threat in October?
Well, one thing that's so weird, and it just runs counter to the way our minds work, is that I could not find a relationship between September record and playoff of success. And so you have, like, the Tigers, who are, you know, the best team in baseball over the last 30 days,
right,
19 wins. And you have the Mets with 19 wins. And yet, you know, you still have playoff odds that say that the Braves have better playoff odds than the Mets.
Yeah.
And that the Braves are a better team than the Mets. And I think there is a little bit of the wiping slate clean that, you know, you get in, and you shorten your playoff, you shorten your staff, you shorten your everything shortens. You don't have to play your fifth or sixth best reliever anymore. And I think that is why the September records can sometimes lead us astray, because we think, like, you know, oh, you know, Baltimore must be terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you get into the playoffs and you're like, oh, wait, like, this is a really good lineup. And, you know, when you're only pitching your top three starters and your top three relievers, like, it's a much better team. So I know that it looks really bad in Baltimore, but I consider them still a threat. On the other hand, the Yankees are playing well, and they will benefit, I think, from shortening. And they'll be able to take somebody like Nestor Cortez, put him in the Michael King role where, you know, he can come on if a starter has some issues. He's left-handed, so that's kind of a fun thing to play with. Maybe you have a righty starter, and then you bring out Clark Schmidt. You know, Clark Schmidt is a righty, or Nestor Cortez is a lefty. And they've been sort of getting right and putting people in the right places. And they have some youth in Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe, and Austin Wells. Youth up the middle, there's a good defenders up the middle. That are wild cards that could kind of have something click and go nuts in the postseason. So I think the Yankees are, you know, I think the Yankees are going to come out of the American League.
Before you go, Eno, and we haven't talked about this, Woods, I don't know, did you see the story that Dennis Lynn posted yesterday about the Jackson Merrill baseball card?
No.
So, yeah, apparently there was these baseball cards that were printed when he was just drafted, like these original Bowman Topps cards. But that's not Jackson Merrill on the card. It's a right-handed hitter with a big leg kick, and it's not him. And it's a guy named Isaac Fry. Dennis Lynn tracked him down. Eno owns one of these cards. How do you get this card, Eno?
Dude, I mean, I follow the Padres like especially tightly because of the show even. And, you know, and I've got Padres fans in the family. And I was at the card shop and I said, oh, Jackson Merrill. Like, I've been told he's like a hot prospect. This was when he was like in high A or something, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, you know, somebody told me he's going to be like a top 50 prospect next year. So I was like, psh. And I paid $2 and I bought this card.
And how much is it worth now?
I don't know, but
I saw like 8,000, you know?
Shut up!
No way.
Guy sitting on a...
It's not Jackson Merrill. It's a right-handed hitter. He's a guy named Isaac Fry. The photographer misidentified him because box score was wrong at like a wood bat tournament.
Well, this is also funny. In the local Little League, I'm the game changer guy. And game changer is the guy who scores the game and like does the box scores and everything. So basically, you know, the game changer guy at this like futures game type situation screwed up.
Oh my God.
And had Jackson Merrill as the ninth hitter when it was this Fry guy. And so the photographer comes in, is taking pictures, and he's like, oh, I got pictures of the ninth hitter. The ninth hitter was Jackson Merrill, and he sends him in. And then the box gets to Jackson Merrill full of thousands of cards he's supposed to sign, you know, like 1,500 cards he's supposed to sign for Topps. And he says, yo, I'm not signing this. That's not me. So the kids came home last night, and I said, hey, look at this card. It's wrong. What's wrong with it? And I made them do some sleuthing, and they figured it out.
I have one baseball card. I've got the Billy Ripken FU card, and I keep it.
Oh, I told my kids about that after that.
I keep it in my safe. I just love it. I think it's the card that represents me the most. And that's so rad. I need to read that story. I did not read it.
Yeah.
$8,000
story.
You can go to Greece, my friend. Well, we're out of time, brother. Thank you so much.
Eno, appreciate it. Eno Saris, every Thursday, Smart Baseball brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. And hold on to that. Yeah, it could be more valuable as Jackson Merrill continues his meteoric rise in Major League Baseball. All right, we'll come back. We still have our football threesome, and Paulie's got some stories for us in the Rindle Report. We'll get to that all next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.